to go there. John 14. Aaron and I have been discussing quite a bit when we get together and see each other, just about Aaron touched on this last time he taught a little bit, but God and politics and trying to separate God from politics, because I think a lot of times we're trying to weave him into these political stands that people have. And so to separate and really get back to what is the most important. And so I was thinking about, I was thinking about truth. And so the verse that came to mind is in John 14, and it's Jesus saying that I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And focusing on, like, who Jesus is, because in the midst of everything that's going on and just all the weight, if we lose sight of him, we are going to feel overwhelmed, and we're not going to be able to really move forward and be agents of change. So I feel like this chapter, I'm going to read through chapter 14, and I just feel like, and then we're going to talk about it and pull apart that specific verse, but I believe that this has some good stuff for us for right now. So just bear with me. I'm reading out of the Passion Translation, so yours might be a little different if you're following along. But it says, don't worry or surrender to your fear. You've believed in God, now trust and believe in me also. My Father's house has many dwelling places. If it were otherwise, I would tell you plainly, because I go to prepare a place for you to rest. And when everything is ready, I will come back and take you to myself, so that you will be where I am. And you already know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Master, we don't know where you're going, so how could we know the way there? Jesus explained, I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes next to the Father except through union with me. To know me is to know my Father too. And from now on, you will realize that you have seen him and experienced him. Philip spoke up, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be all that we need. And Jesus replied, Philip, I've been with you all this time, and you still don't know who I am. How could you ask me to show you the Father? For anyone who has looked at me has seen the Father. Don't you believe that the Father is living in me, and that I am living in the Father? Even my words are not my own, but come from my Father. For he lives in me and performs his miracles of power through me. Believe that I live as one with my Father, and that my Father lives as one with me. Or at least believe because of the mighty miracles I have done. I tell you this timeless truth. The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do. Even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father. For I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask me in my name. And that is how the Son will show what the Father is really like and bring glory to him. Ask me anything in my name, and I will do it for you. We're going to continue on. Loving me empowers you to obey my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Savior, the Holy Spirit of truth, who will be to you a friend just like me. And he will never leave you. The world won't receive him because they can't see him or know him. But you know him immediately because he remains with you and will live inside you. I promise that I will never leave you helpless or abandon you as orphans. I will come back to you. Soon I will leave this world, and they will see me no longer. But you will see me, because I will live again, and you will come alive too. So when that day comes, you will know that I am living in the Father, and that you are one with me. For I will be living in you. Those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father, and I will passionately love you in return and will manifest my life within you. Then one of the disciples named Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, Lord, why is it that you only reveal your identity to us and not to everyone? Jesus replied, loving me empowers you to obey my word, and my Father will love you so deeply that we will come to you and make you our dwelling place. But those who don't love me will not obey my words. The Father did not send me to speak my own revelation, but the words of my Father. I am telling you this while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Spirit of holiness, the one like me who sets you free, he will teach you all things in my name. And he will inspire you to remember every word that I've told you. I leave the gift of peace with you, my peace. Not the kind of fragile peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. Don't yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. Instead, be courageous. Remember what I've told you, that I must go away, but I promise to come back to you. So, if you truly love me, and you will be glad for me, since I'm returning to my Father, who is greater than I. So when all these things happen, you will still trust and cling to me. I won't speak with you much longer, for the ruler of this dark world is coming, but he has no power over me, for he has nothing to use against me. I am doing exactly what the Father destined for me to accomplish, so that the world will discover how much I love my Father. Now come with me. So, in this chapter, before I go into some of the things, what stood out to people? What jumped out at you as I was reading it and we were going through it? I know it's a big chapter. There's a lot in there.
A little bit.
It's okay. Well, think about that as we go through. Think about what maybe pops out for you. I wanna land for just a minute on that verse, Jesus saying that I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And I wanna explain those words and my understanding of that. I was thinking before, you know, doing this message, that Jesus doesn't say, I am the religious institution, right? I am the political establishment. I am, you know, like, those aren't what he said. They were very simple. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And there's other things in the Bible that Jesus refers to him as, right? I'm the vine. He says that he's the door. And so he defines himself other ways, but it's never as an organization. Right? I'm not the head of an organization. I'm not the leader of a religious group. I'm a father. Right? Follow me, yes. He's leading us, but he's not trying to establish this, for better word, this a corporation or something with a bunch of like rules and regulations. And I'm not saying that church, I'm not saying we throw out church and all that stuff. And there are things that he tells us to do when we gather, and all those things are important, but he's not saying that that's what he's coming to establish. He's coming to establish relationship. And so he says that he's the way, the truth, and the life in verse 6. So as I was looking in Bible Hub, that's where I get a lot of my information. So in Bible Hub, it pulls apart words and it gives us the ability to understand the Hebrew and the Greek. So he says, I am the way. That can be thought of, I'm the path, I'm the road, I'm the journey. Which is pretty incredible. Like, it's not just, I'm this path you must follow, I'm the journey. Like, I'm from here to eternity, I'm the whole way. Right? It's not just like, okay, believe in me, walk this little path, and you're there. Like, I am the entire journey. I am the point of everything, every step that you're taking. And I know, like, we're going to the Father, but Jesus is the point. He is the focus, because we can't understand the Father without Jesus. We can't even get to the Father without Jesus, right? He's the only one who has made it possible for us to have that relationship. Is that David Dillon?
Yeah. Wow.
Yay.
Hi, David.
Hopefully this is going to work for him today. So he goes on to say that he's the truth. And so in this, unpacking the word truth, it says truth of idea, not just what's spoken. Reality, sincerity. Truth in the moral sphere, divine truth revealed to man. So it's not just like, okay, I'm sitting at a table, this is a table, right? It's not just this concrete stuff, it's these ideas, it's the moral sphere, it's divine truth that's revealed. Is it working, David?
Yes, finally.
Good.
Good.
It's
yay.
So good to see your face. I've missed you.
I've missed everybody.
Yeah.
Yay. Aww. Good.
Good to see you. Good. Yay.
Glad you're back.
Yes.
Okay, so...
Yeah, I have yeah. An,
go ahead.
I have an old phone, so my new phone, I'm trying to figure out how to hook Zoom up, so...
Okay.
I'm using my old phone, so I don't know how long it'll be.
Okay, well, you're here for whatever amount of time is a blessing to me, so...
Amen.
I'm glad you're here.
There you go.
We're in John 14, David. So we're looking at Jesus when he says that he's the way, the truth, and the life. And so I think with this idea of truth, it's bigger than what we understand. There is truth in science. Like, I totally believe in science. I really do. Like, I believe that science reveals God, right? And as we dig into science, I mean, just how complex the human body is points to a creator. Right? And the more that we're able to understand through science reveals more and more how God designed things to be. You know, when I teach my sixth graders about the universe and how the solar system works, like, I'm in awe of how it works so perfectly. Mm-hmm. I was listening to something, and it's on NPR one time, and it said that the solar system, like, the way that things are, it's more perfect than it actually needs to be. It could still work if things were a little bit off more. Like, it's so perfect, like, which is really interesting. They're like, it doesn't really make sense. It really doesn't need to be this organized, you know? Like, it's kind of like, well, that's because it's a designer, just so you know. But the truth that we're talking about is, like, science is truth and it points to God, but we're talking about higher truth. We're talking about truth that the Holy Spirit will reveal to us. And the only way that we're going to really understand the word, that we're going to understand how to really love people, we're going to understand deep mysteries of God with the Holy Spirit, is through relationship. And I've watched, like, during this really heated time through our country, it is very heated. I keep thinking, like, we're in the most divisive time that we've been in my lifetime, and it seems to just get more, you know, like, oh no, this week is the most, you know, like, it just seems to be getting more divisive. But there was this picture that I saw, and these people holding a Christian flag and protesting against people, and also holding Confederate flags with this Christian flag next to it. And I was just like, what they're trying to communicate is not love. They are not grasping the fullness of who God is and the love that he has. I'm not talking about on political sides. I'm just saying, like, the way that they're speaking, and you watch the way that they're communicating, they're not showing love, right? They're trying to hold on to something that is not what God ever came to establish. He did not come to establish a European-style America, right? Like, he did not come for that. Like, he came to love people and bring people together in family. Is that making sense? And so when I saw that, I was just like, you're putting God with these political statements that you're making, and, like, I just think that it really grieves him, because it's his truth is higher than these things that we're trying to preserve, protect, be afraid of it changing. And I think that's, you know, we've been talking about this a little bit, you know, off and on, but just this idea of there's a lot of people in America and in the world that they use power to keep the system that they believe protects them from having to really change, right? And if you look at, like, life, like, things are constantly changing, right? Society is constantly changing. And if we're not secure in who we are in Christ, we are going to be terrified of the changes that are happening, and we cannot circumvent them. They will happen. This world is changing. Mm-hmm. It is not the same that it was when I was first born 39 years ago, right? First born, second born, when I was born. I mean, I guess I was born again then when I got older. Anyway, but it's not the same, right? It is a different world now the way that we interact, all of it, it is a different world. And we're also learning things now that are really coming to our awareness that other people understood, that I want to speak for myself, that's coming to my awareness that, like, either I can choose to learn and grow and change and love people better, or I can try to hold on to something that was never something that I believe that God ever tried to establish, right? And so when we're thinking about truth, we've got to go past just what the physical things that we see. Like, God is higher than that. His love doesn't make sense. It really doesn't. I mean, when he says to love your enemies, that doesn't make sense to our minds. What? No, you beat your enemies, you destroy them, right? You get rid of them. You silence your enemies. And he's like, love your enemies. Come together, right?
Eat them for dinner.
What's that?
Said eat them for dinner.
Eat them for dinner. yeah, so, I mean, with all of that, like, we're trying to hold on to these truths that I believe that God is trying to reveal, that they are not truth, because it's not the fullness of who he is, if that makes sense. Then he goes on to say life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And this is talking about both physical, the present life, and spiritual, future existence. So in him, we are fully alive now and will remain alive for eternity. It always comes from and is sustained by God. God intimately shares his gift of life with people, creating us in his image with the capacity to know his eternal life. And I really like that. He created all of us, every single person in his image, with the capacity to know his eternal life, the capacity to step into relationship and be with him forever. The capacity for that, but doesn't mean that everybody's going to choose that, right? And one of the things that I'm thinking about, anyway, just popped in my head right now, is that sometimes we are trying to convince people of moral truth that is not part of their moral compass because they don't have God as their true north, if you want to think about it that way, right? He's not their north star. He's not their guiding star like he is in our lives. And so we often are trying to hold people. I'm not saying that we shouldn't speak up for people who are oppressed and fight systems that are not right, but we're trying to convince people sometimes to believe in things when they don't have the moral compass to be able to do that. And so how do we, in this, be able to communicate with people to really value life, right? How do you convince people of that for some people who do not believe that there is a divine creator who made every life precious? You're going to have people that don't hold to that. And so we're trying to convince people sometimes of things, even people who believe that they're Christians, but really don't have a relationship with God. You know, I always go back to it because it's the most extreme, but the Westboro Baptist Church, they don't understand truth. That higher morality, God truth, they do not understand. They understand hatred. They understand fear. They understand control. They do not understand God. And so then they we're trying to convince them, but they don't really have, you cannot spew that kind of hatred and have a relationship with Jesus, a true relationship with Jesus. I'm not saying some of us won't mess up. I've said things I regret, right? We've all said things we regret. Mm-hmm. I have said things, you know, to people I have learned and grown through the years. But where I am now is because I'm continuing to pursue him and continuing to learn to love people and to live this life, this present life, as well as knowing that it's an eternal life. But I'm connected with the Holy Spirit to divine truth. I don't always listen to it. I'm learning how to listen better. I'm learning how to tune in and allow him to challenge my beliefs. But a lot of people who claim to be Christians, you watch their actions and it's like, you're not getting it. You're not getting it that we're supposed to love people. Can you put aside your political stance for a minute and see that somebody's hurting? Does that make sense? Like, there's this person that I've had to, I'm trying not to unfollow people I disagree with. And I'm not saying we all have to agree on the same things. So I'm trying not to be political, but I'm just saying there are people right now who are crying out in the black community because they're hurting, right? And some people are not okay with the ways that they might be doing things. And so they're trying to silence them, and they're trying to make fun of the movement that's trying to raise awareness for people who are being hurt. And there's this guy that keeps putting ostriches' lives matter, platypus lives matter, like all these different things. And it's like, you may disagree with this movement, but do you need to, as a Christian, mock it? Like, that's sad to me. Can you not just sit for a minute and say, whoa, there's something going on here and people are hurting. What would Jesus do? I mean, like that thing, like, what would Jesus do? Like, yeah. Honestly, what would he do? He would sit down and listen, right? He would sit down and say, like, whoa, there is something driving you. There's something that's hurt deep inside. Will you share that with me? Right? Will you, like, let me sit in that space with you? You're hurting, and out of hurt, there's anger, right? That comes. And people do things that other people want to attack. And so there's a lot of people, I'm seeing so many, like, Christians that are trying to change the narrative of what's happening right now, and trying to protect this America that they believe that it's somewhere in the back of their mind that God has created. Right? And I don't believe that God is a ruler of America. Like, I'm not saying he doesn't want great for our country and this world and, like, peace, but I don't believe that he's, like, his goal is to preserve something in our country that's been broken. Right? Like, this thing that people are trying to hold on to, it needs to change because we're realizing that people are being left in the dust. People are being trampled on. People are being hurt. And there's so many emotions that come up, especially for us as white people, things that come up for us as people have these discussions, right? And as people say certain things or use certain terminology, we can get into this place of guilt, but it's like Jesus is saying, are you listening? Are you willing to listen and learn from people? Are you really willing to love? I've been going through some coaching on the Enneagram, and I don't know who here is very familiar with it. I'm just barely learning with the Enneagram, and I was fighting it for a really long time. and I'm starting to learn more about myself, but as I'm learning about myself, I'm realizing that I want to be able to understand more how other people tick as well. You know, how do people process, how do people think, so that I can have more empathy for where somebody is coming from. But when we are offended with people's words, or we are see people's actions and we disagree with them, can we step back and be like, what could be driving this? What could be the cause behind people's actions that we may disagree with? Right? Or words. And when people are hurting, they might say things that we feel like, you know, like, where are you going with that? And so I think for us to be able to stop and be like, hey, here's an individual person, a person who might be hurting. Can we pause, see them for who they are? And this might be people who are like that person that's putting platypus lives matter, you know, like ostrich lives matter, which sounds silly, but it's mocking something where there's real pain in people's lives. But how do I stay engaged with him and show love, but also bring some truth as Christians what we should be doing? So anyway, with that, I want to keep moving through this, and then I want to open it up for, you know, thoughts that you guys have. I don't want to get political, and it's not about a political side. It's about people. So when Jesus, in verse 23, he says, Jesus says, loving me empowers you to obey my word. And my Father will love you so deeply that we will come to you and make our dwelling place. And in this chapter, he also talks about obeying his commands, right? So being able to follow what he says. If we love Jesus, we follow what he says. And this comes into our message so often because we've got to get back to it. And we've got to remind ourselves, his two greatest commandments were all about love. That's it. That we would obey and that we would truly love people. And so if we as Christians walk and continue to be a part of the divisiveness that's happening, we're not following his commands. That doesn't mean we don't engage in conversation. It doesn't mean that we don't challenge people's beliefs, but what's happening inside our hearts? Are we loving people in that process? Are we loving people that we disagree with? There's some dear, like, just people that I know who have had some disagreements on social media and falling out because of these different political views and views about situations, and they haven't been able to have a conversation and talk and love each other. And now they've got things to work through because now there's falling outs and unfriending and different things that are happening. It's like, that's either we're a part of dividing or a part of uniting. Like, really, like that's all we really have the capability to do. Either be a part of division or part of unity. And I'm not sure how to maneuver all of that. I'm not sure how to create healthy boundaries in relationships where that aren't healthy all the time. You know, it's like, okay, does unity mean that I just like allow people to like abuse me? No, that's not what I'm talking about. But we, because we're connected to truth, Jesus, and we have divine truth from the Holy Spirit, heavenly truth, we have the ability to understand in situations what to do to love people the best in each situation. We do. We have access for that. And so to be able to tap into that, to be able to put aside our own agenda, put aside our emotions, put aside our feelings of disrespect or our feelings of being hurt. I'm not saying I'm great at this. I'm just saying this is stuff that I'm thinking about as I'm reading this. This is, if he is the way, the truth, and the life, as we focus on him, we will then understand how to actually live and love. Right? If we get diverted from focusing on him and we focus on everything else, which is my tendency, I've been overwhelmed. I'm just saying, you know, I've been overwhelmed these last few months. And I go through times where I'm like, okay, and I feel alive. And then I just feel kind of like heavy. And Thursday, I stayed at home and watched Netflix all day. And I just checked out, you know. And I'm not saying that as like that was a negative thing. I'm just saying like I needed to kind of like disengage for a little while. I don't know how to maneuver everything that's happening. But I think that we need to continue to have discussions like this and look in his word, where should our focus be? Because if our focus stays on him and we are listening to the Holy Spirit, we are then going to have the ability to know what to do. Yeah. That's the reality. Not that it's going to be easy, not that it's going to be comfortable all the time. Not that it's not going to take sacrifice, you know, but we will know what to do and we will learn and grow from our mistakes. And I think that's one of the things that we need to realize. It doesn't mean we're going to be perfect in every situation we come across. It means that we're going to also be convicted by the Holy Spirit, listen to that, and grow and change so that we can love people better. You know, if Jesus said, come and follow me, you are required to love people perfectly, or you cannot continue to follow me, we're screwed. You know, like we just are. But that's not what he asked for us to do. And I bet if we all like took time to share like how we've made mistakes and learn through those mistakes, we all have a list, right? Ways that we've hurt people that we cared about, ways that we were selfish or prideful, or we lived out of fear, or all of those different things. And we're like, okay, today, now, I'm doing better than I was yesterday and last year. And so if Jesus is the journey, right, he's the way, he's also the end point, but he's also the journey. And if it's a journey, it means it's going to have a lot involved in it, right? You think about a journey, like it's journeys are long, they're challenging, but with him, we then have the strength. Without him, we don't have the strength to maneuver all of this, right? And really do it in our best selves and in a healthy way and to really love people well. I want to pull out a few things. Oh, sorry. Let me see where it was. I want to relate that to, so in John 10:9, Jesus says that he is the gate or the door. And so he is the access point to the Father. So our relationship with him, he is our salvation, but he is the access point to the Father. And that's why he says, no one comes to the Father except through me, right? Because I love the Father and follow him, and you know me, then you know the Father. That's awesome. We can't lose sight of Jesus in the midst of all of it, right? I've said this before, what we fix our eyes on, we become more like. And we need to fix our eyes on Jesus during this hard time. During this divisive time, a time that's filled with a lot of fear, a lot of hate, a lot of disagreements. And so how are we going to step into those spaces and help other people see that love is powerful and that Jesus is the way to the Father, and that in that there is good? Because there's a lot of people that are speaking for us that aren't really representing him. And that's really sad to me. And it's sad that people who are being very vocal and very angry and stuff, and how some people are communicating online, which has become even more of a forum for, you know, putting things out there, which I'm not saying is negative to use. It's an amazing platform, but how are we maneuvering that so that we're loving people in the process? And I just get saddened when I see things that Christians, who I believe should be more understanding for people of people's pain or disagreements, for people's pain or have more understanding that we still love people even if we disagree with them, are tending to put things out there that continue to divide. I don't know how else to say that, if that makes sense. And it's that's sad to me. So. Let's see. Somebody's echoing. Oh, David's got two going on here. Okay. I muted one of them, David. So hopefully, just so we don't have that loop going. So Jesus is the path, the road, the journey, right? He's the truth, not just spoken, but he's reality. He's the truth in the moral sphere, divine truth. He's life, both physical now and spiritual, future existence. Remember that God created us in his image and also with the capacity for eternal life. And it says in the word that eternal life is knowing him. How do we know the Father? Through Jesus. He says, you know my Father. Well, how do we know him? Like, show us him. Because you know me. So if we know Jesus and have a relationship with Jesus, then we know the Father. That is already eternal life. We are a part of that. So holding on to that, knowing that those truths are there, knowing who Jesus is. Sometimes when I don't know where to read in the Bible, I just go back to the Gospels. I'm like, I just want to look at Jesus. What did Jesus do? What were the truths that he said about who he is? And that, so I've doing some in John, and I've started reading Matthew, and because sometimes the other stuff, it's good stuff, but I think it can, in some ways, detract us into things where we lose sight of what the main focus is, and it has to be Jesus, right? Everything we hear in the Bible has to go through this lens of, like, Jesus is the point. And so being able to be grounded in that, I believe, is really critical. Let's see. There were some other things I wanted to say real quick, and then I want to open up for things that you guys are hearing. Okay. So in verse 15... I read on verse 23, but in verse 15, he says a very similar thing. In verse 23 that I read to you, it says, loving me empowers you to obey my word. He says that in verse 15 as well. Loving me empowers you to obey my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Savior, the Holy Spirit of truth, who will be to you a friend just like me, and he will never leave you. And the world won't receive him because they can't see him or know him, but you know him intimately because he remains with you and will live inside of you. Loving Jesus empowers us to follow his commands. I love Jesus. I do. But when my attention gets off of him and focus on just loving people, then I'm loving out of, how do I say it? I run dry. I get to a place where I'm trying to do it out of my own strength. Mm-hmm. So loving him empowers me to follow his commands and love others. And without loving him and having that as my focus point, I'm not going to be able to love people well. And I will run dry and feel empty. But it's in his strength that I then have the ability to love others. Then I have the ability to connect to his wisdom when I'm in relationship with him and I'm focusing on him. Does that make sense? We can't lose sight of Jesus and our pursuit of him. And this last week has been, like, I'm just being honest, like, it's been really, like, hard for me. There's just been a lot of, like, last weekend and just getting a lot stuck in my head. And today, preparing for this message and talking with Aaron, it's not that I haven't thought about God at all this last week, but I haven't given him the space and the attention that I need. It's not that Jesus needs me to give him my attention. You get what I say? Like, it doesn't give Jesus more strength to do what he needs to do because I'm recognizing him. But I need it. I need to keep my focus on him. And so I wanted to just take a minute and play this song. So hopefully it'll come through for you to be able to hear it. And this is by Brian and Katie Torwalt about Jesus. And so I want you just to listen to it. And then I want to talk about what's coming up for you in this and thinking about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, so it looks like I'm gonna mute myself and I'm going to share my screen and just share this song because I think it was working. So hopefully this will work for us.
I say hi.
Hi.
All right, running late. Hi, guys. Nice to see you, David.
Hi.
Hey.
Hello. Hi, honey. Hi.
Really like what you're saying, Josh. I just want to say before we play the song that that's what you're teaching on right now in John is exactly where my where I am at reading.
Really? John 14?
Yeah.
Oh, crazy.
Everybody, we have not been talking about what's in John. I think Josh is just using it necessarily. Anyways.
That's awesome. Like that.
We're running late, but we're on time, I guess, so.
Here we are.
That's right.
Okay. Josh.
Okay.
Been you. I am complete. What more could I need? Jesus, it's always been you. Jesus, it's always been you.
So good. Such a great song. I'm guilty of forgetting that. You know, there are days that go by that I forget that. That His love is enough. Right? That in the midst of everything that's going on, just with us, you know, individually, you know, just in our lives in general and in relationships and like everything, like His love is enough. And it's His strength that allows us the ability to truly love people, to continue on this journey, this process of following Him, you know. And I think it's interesting just to think of Him, like think of Jesus as a journey. And it's wild, and it's not fully, we can't control it. I can't control Jesus, right? Like he's a wild lover, and he does things that like I don't fully understand, but he is a wild lover, and his teachings don't make sense to my mind. I would have been like, the Israelites, the Jews of the time, like being like, gosh, take over, like free us from this Roman Empire, right? Like, become a ruler of an army. And he continuously just brings it back to like, I'm love. I didn't come here to rule in the way that you think. I came here to teach you how to love, because that's the only thing that truly brings freedom. That's the only thing that helps us to really live our best selves, to be free. It's love, right? It's not a system. As we were listening to that, in verse 27 of chapter 14, he says, I leave the gift of peace with you, my peace. Not the kind of fragile peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. So don't yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. Instead, be courageous. We have the ability to be courageous, right? To step out, to love. And love is a courageous thing. Because love requires humility. Love requires tough conversations. Love requires sitting in somebody else's mess. Love requires, in loving ourselves, sitting in our own mess and being patient with ourselves, you know, having compassion toward ourselves. Love is courageous. Because we have to step past fear. Fear of things not working out the way that we want. Fear of hurting somebody else. Fear of being hurt by people. Fear of being used or trampled on. You know, like there's so many things that can come up when we choose to be vulnerable and we choose to love people. So I hope this is a good encouragement for you. And if you're feeling stuck and not sure what to read or where to go, read John. Read through Matthew. Read this chapter, you know, every day. Soak in the truth that God is bigger than our circumstances. He's bigger than everything that we see right now. He's bigger than the divisions. He's bigger than the disagreements. He's bigger than the broken friendships. He's bigger than the politics. He's bigger than all of it. So I want to just be able to open it up for people to speak. I want to finish off with just the online thing, but I just want to pray for us, and then I just want to open it up for what this looks like for you, how maybe this has challenged your heart. So God, thank you that you are the way. You're the journey. You're the focus. You're the whole point. You are the only way for us to be in eternity. You are the door. You're the gate. Relationship with you is the point. That's the focus. Knowing you and seeing you reveals who the Father is. Thank you that we have the Holy Spirit with us every step of the way, every step of this journey. Thank you that you are truth. You are truth that's bigger than the physical truth, the things that we see, the truths in our experiences, the truths of just this physical world. It's bigger than that. Divine truth, moral truth. And you are life, present and future, that we are in you, that we are already a part of eternity. And we get to be fully alive. And I truly believe that true life also equals true freedom. To be fully alive in you is to be fully free in you, to be who you created us to be, to live out our best selves so that we can love people better. Thank you that it's only in your strength that we can love. It's only because you love us first that we can love anybody else. So God, thank you. Thank you that you continue to bring us back to the focus, you. Not because you need us to focus on you, because that's where we become our best selves, because focusing on you transforms who we are into who you created us to be. We love you, God. Thank you for this community. Thank you for the people who weren't able to be here. Whatever they're doing, God, I just pray that you would protect them, that you would love on them, that you continue to unveil to them who you are, your wisdom, your truth. Thank you, Lord. Amen.